Hello.
I like your glasses.
Wait, sorry, I was switching over to my AirPods. How are you?
Good. I like your glasses. They're pretty fancy.
Oh, thank you. How are you doing?
Good. Good. I can't complain. I'm running the conflicts on Pennsylvania now. We're so big that we have Pennsylvania people that call on them all the time. So thanks again for that.
Oh, yeah. I hope that is successful for you. I really want to do this green mortgage.
Yeah, so I mean, all you and Mike have to do is just say, hey, US Bank, start it up, and that'll be easy. I mean, I think Fannell's only done two loans in 2 years, but I agree with you.
I think that there's more that we could do. All right, wait, Sarah, I'm
I
trying to make
agree.
you the
I
host.
agree.
There you go. Hey, Chris.
How's everybody doing?
Hello. So what are, did you, were you able to come to that event or no?
Yeah, I think I'll be able to.
Okay, because I have sad news. See if you still want to come after we changed it. The Coronet is actually closed on Tuesdays, and so it's going to be probably Charo Del or Charo Steak or Del Charo.
That's fine.
Charo Del Rey or something. Yeah. Hello. Hi, Judy.
Hey, how are you doing?
Great. I'm excited. Today's the big day, the
Today is the
inducement
big day.
day. Very excited about that. And then, Chris, I haven't seen a final version of the inducement resolution come through, but I'm assuming there wasn't really any changes. So it'll just, whenever we vote on it, then we'll just use the cleaned up version.
Yeah, exactly. Do you think that we'll have any questions for our special bond counsel on that? I'm happy to answer, questions as best as I know, but Pat called me. He's happy to jump on if needed.
I don't think we'll have any major questions again since we're just at this phase. I just, like we did our first inducement, I just focused it on those kind of three questions to ask ourselves.
Great.
So Pat, do you know if Anne is anyone from their team joining or probably not?
They can if we'd like them to. They're standing by, but they didn't want to fill the room with too many attorneys.
What? Is
Oh,
that even a thing?
it's a thing. It's a thing.
How's your sleep going at night?
Oh, thanks for asking. It's getting better. The bags have started going away. So
Right.
I think it was a couple of weeks ago I signed on to a Zoom call, and you know how you get the pre-video to see how you look. I was like, oh no. I'm looking a little tired.
they do have that beautify feature on Zoom, so it can be helpful for new parents.
I'm such a bad Zoom user. I don't do any of the
That
backgrounds, or I gotta
is
figure that
Oh
out.
my gosh, Zoom is so wacky. Like you can it will like you can do like a full face of makeup. It will put like eyebrows, it puts lipstick. There's and then you can also do facial hair. They have so many options.
Great.
Hello,
Sandra. It looks like Anne is joining. So that's exciting.
I can't hear.
And I see Patricia. Hello.
Hi. Hey, Patricia.
Hi. One, two, three.
Okay, now you can hear me. Good
Now,
morning or
yes,
good
now we can
afternoon.
hear
Sorry,
you.
guys.
Good afternoon.
Oh,
Good afternoon. What time of day is it? With all this rain, I don't even know what city we live in right now.
have no
Could be
idea.
Seattle.
Well, the aquifers are filling to capacity, and that's the most important thing.
Oh,
That is wonderful. So I did hear, unfortunately, Mimi's mother is having a surgery right now, so she needed to be in the hospital, and the reception's not so great. And Monica, unfortunately, is also sick today. So we have a couple folks down, but I did hear from everyone else, and so I think we would should be good. We'll just wait a couple minutes for everyone to jump on. And I think I just saw Brad join. Yep.
Hi, Dre.
Hi.
How are you?
And here is Meredith. Hello. Great to see you again, Brad.
Yeah, you too.
All right. And hello, Meredith.
So we have a quorum.
We are at quorum. It's official.
Okay.
And then Shay should be joining at some point. But yeah, I think we're good to go.
Okay, great. Thank you all for being here. Welcome to our guests. And I'm about to open up the board meeting for March 16th, 2023 of the Tucson Economic Development Authority and calling the meeting to order. I will first read our mission. Tucson IDA enables strategic economic and community development by providing financing and access to capital for projects and programs that benefit a thriving Tucson. So, and Sarah's going to do the roll call. We'll just do the roll call. Judy Klinko here.
Meredith Aronson here.
Patricia Schwabe here.
Okay. Sandra, you want to just go ahead and announce yourself one more time?
Yes, Sandra Barton.
Okay, great. So the second order of business is to go ahead and approve the minutes from our last meeting of February 16th. Do I have a motion?
I make a motion to approve the February 16, 2023 meeting minutes, as well as the special board meeting of February 24th, 2023.
Second.
Any additions, corrections? There being none, we accept the minutes for both those meetings as presented. Thank you. And action item number three is discussion and action on the inducement resolution for 3200 West Valencia ProCo LP. Dre?
Thank you so much. Yes. I'm very excited about this this opportunity that we have presented. I met Brad a few weeks ago, and we kind of were able to connect about this project. I'm going to set the stage, and then I would love to... Wait, I'm getting a bit of an echo. Nicole, would you mind? I'm going to mute you, Nicole. Sorry, there we go. Again, our objective here, the inducement resolution, this is very beginning stages of the process, and we will be, it'll be working its way through with all our different partners, I believe. Anne is on here. Chris has been working on this. Our goal here today is to, does the project advance the interests of the authority? Does the project advance the interests of the public? And based on the information that was provided in the application submitted by the applicant, does it qualify as a project under the act? So that's, again, just very high level, a quick proposal. So this is going to be a new construction over there on Valencia. The maximum amount they have requested in their proposal is $40 million, and their anticipated closing date is September of this year. This capital stack, and I'll let Brad talk a little bit more about this, but it is 4% low income housing tax credit, tax exempt, bond multifamily development, just about 14 acres, almost 14 acres, and it's 260 LIHTC affordable units with AMIs, targeting families with area median incomes under 60%, and it will have a total of 5 buildings. And we're looking at a mix of 1 to 2 to 3 bedroom configurations throughout the property. That's the high level, but Brad, if you want to kind of fill in a little bit more about your organization and the experience that y'all have, and if there's anything special that you kind of want to share with the board about this particular project.
As you can see there, we are Impact Residential. I'm Brad Fisher.
one of the two vice presidents. We do affordable housing nationwide. I, in my past, all I do is affordable housing, financed with tax credits, home funds, national housing trust funds, just about every source we can pull in on these deals lately. But we're really excited to be into Tucson. Can't speak today. This will be our first deal in Arizona. We've already got an award of state tax credits for this development. And now we're just working on putting the rest of our bond and 4% tax credits and soft funding together. So we are in pretty good shape, I think. We submitted hopefully our last application for some soft funding earlier this month. So we should have all the awards and everything in for that probably late March or mid-April, depending on the timing of those applications. So that's really good. And, you know, was introduced to Dre in Tucson and was excited to, you know, be able to get induced for this. So I think it's great to be able to keep some of these funds local in Tucson. This is going to be the first of many projects. So we're excited to get things kicked off. And you can see kind of going back a little bit, we're part of Starwood Capital Group, which is a large multifamily, a huge real estate investment trust. They own about 50,000 affordable units nationwide. But our group is focused strictly on new construction affordable housing. So this will be one of the very first developments to get up and out of the ground for us.
Thank you so much, Brad, for that overview. I'm just going to open it up to the board to if there's any specific questions that Brad would be able to answer. We also have some attorneys if there's clarifications on the process.
I'll just make a comment and ask questions. It's really exciting to see you guys coming into Arizona. I will say that. And the LIHTC project, of course, is for us a really nice place to be talking. Personal comment, I really do hope that we could inspire you after this sequence of projects in future to be thinking about infill projects, which I think for us would be a very high priority and a very high interest. And we look forward to being able to continue to see projects like this emerge. So really great.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yes, the first of many, many opportunities. And we will continue to always be excited about bringing opportunities that are infill specifically too. But very, very happy about this. Great comment. Thank you, Meredith. So if there are no further questions, are we feeling ready to
do I have a motion? Sandra?
I saw Sandra hand
yes.
go up.
Yes, of course. You know, I just have to unmute myself. I did read the bond application. So, and I did Google you guys and I found out it's a foreign corporation, LLC, here in the state of Arizona. But I think I know where the property is and I think it would be great. So I make a motion to move forward with us.
Okay, do I have a second?
Second.
Any further conversation, dialogue around this? Okay, let's call for a vote. All those in favor, raise your hand.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
The vote passes. Okay, great. Congratulations. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much.
Very excited. You know, Brad, you're obviously welcome to stick around for the business of the day, but this part of this portion is done. So if we are free to release you, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Looking forward to it. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, Dre. I think item number four, your report and status update.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we are going to have a nice and efficient board meeting today. Just some updates on what we're working on. I wanted to give you some information about our PTIHS, Avanza, our fund, and then also some updates on the Avanza Center. We have a couple different operational updates that I'm going to go ahead and give you at this time, and then we'll review the monthly financials. And then feel free. I'm just going to kind of go through these, but if you have questions or if there's areas that we want to stop and discuss, please do let me know. There is a lot of moving parts happening right now. So I don't want anyone to feel that something's new or they didn't know, they're not sure on the progress of something. So, one, I wanted to point out something pretty exciting. You can see here from this nice graph that our PTHS Advantage, that new program where we really stepped in and filled that gap because of the market conditions, is very, very popular. And you can see that since we've launched it, popularity has continued to grow. We're very excited to be able to add a 5% back to our options for folks. And people are taking advantage of it. And we are actually back to pre-pandemic levels of usage of our program, which is very exciting. You can see we got a little hairy there last year. And so we're very happy to be back into a zone. And if you kind of notice, the Treasury rates has this inverse function with our program usage. And we're still having fairly high usage despite the higher interest rates. So really just kind of a testament to making a quick decision and bringing a program that is filling a gap. Anything, Scott, that you would like to kind of make a comment about here?
Real quickly, just to let you know that it's the highest originating program in all of our programs nationwide. And so the Advantage decision and the MCC and some of the things that all of you do is really helping the community, and it shows. So I'm sharing that with your peers as well, Dre. It's quite a story of success.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
So and rates went down today. Mortgage rates went down. So.
That's great. Good for home buyers. Thanks for letting us know, Sandra. So just a quick summary on that program, PTHS Advantage. We brought back that 5%, which we weren't able to do last year, which is really exciting. We did go ahead and release the additional $250,000 that was approved last fall to capitalize that Advantage fund. Talking to Scott, it sounds like we're going to have to reconsider maybe in 5 to 6 months whether we want to continue to fund the Advantage program. We can keep an eye on the market, see if it's still necessary. But the estimates that he just kind of back in napkin was saying that we are probably getting about 10% returns on those dollars that we've invested. So it's gonna be a good investment for us. But we will just have to continue to keep an eye on it. As we have discussed when we started the Advantage program, the quicker refis are going to lead to higher returns. And so that's all going to be kind of market-based a bit. So another thing that's really exciting, Nicole has been working diligently to create a very enhanced marketing engagement for lenders that's we're going to be launching here, and just really making sure that all of the lenders in Tucson understand really the value of the program that we had. We had a really successful meeting with Nova. Nova had initially been one of our biggest originators and really fallen off the cliff. Scott reached out to us. We had a meeting that was super successful. A number of their lenders were really excited. We held a training for them. And so you're going to see over the next few months, we're rolling out a new strategy for engagement of our lenders, educating for our home buyers, and marketing around that program. There is a lot of confusion about whether the essentials workers will be recapitalized. We had sort of thought that maybe it wasn't. And then from the mayor's office, there were some social posts that said that it was going to be recapitalized. So we are working on this. I anticipate that what might happen is that around March 31st, we're going to find out whether the round two ARPA was actually released for the essential workers. I have a meeting set up this week. Judy, Charlene has let me know that you have been diligently getting that meeting on the table for us. So very grateful for your support in getting some clarity around that, because we are receiving phone calls from lenders and wondering. As of right now, we just said the program's paused, so we haven't fully sunsetted. So we just need to make some adjustments if in fact there is further capital for this program. I do hope that there is further capitalization, because I think that we will it's been a really successful program for us. Yes, Meredith.
So if that funding gets approved through ARPA, in the last round, I think you went out and built some matching funds from other organizations. If that happens, would that be in your mind again, or not great use of your resources and bandwidth this round?
We will be fundraising for a number of programs, including Avanza. And so that's going to be the decision point is, do we want to put our kind of capital into this one? I think at all times we need to be mindful of further opportunities. I would say I'd probably want to push for Avanza at this time, because the market seems to have stabilized and because we are seeing those volumes up. If our volumes were really low, I mean, we really need to get this program in a strong position. I'll kind of keep you guys abreast of that, because we might make some changes to this program to try to see if we can make it an evergreen program, at which case we might do some reformatting of it, and it will be sort of a new opportunity for fundraising. That's a really good question. And I'm hoping 31st we have more information, or I might have more information tomorrow. But at minimum, the 31st would be great.
Yeah, and it's not a pressure statement. I was just kind of curious, because it's true. Yeah. We're doing a lot of fundraising and the community is not a huge community. So that was mostly just curiosity.
You don't want it to be that situation where everyone sees you. They're like, oh, no, here comes Dre to ask us for more funding.
Yeah.
Don't want that reputation. But yeah.
But I would say, you know, just generally, if it's sort of viewed as round two is what it's going to be, and there is not an additional sort of evergreen strategy, then I would hope that we're starting to communicate that this is, you know, round two, and then that will be the end of the program. It would be good to prepare people.
Yeah. Yeah. And we have some program adjustments and learnings that we've done this round so that we don't have this kind of, you know, if we have a huge week that there's a big stress. And so I have some ideas about how we can make it a little bit easier for us to anticipate when things are starting to wind down. That was definitely a lesson learned from this round, first round. Yep. Okay, so updates on Avanza, our empowerment fund here. We had a great write-up in the Arizona Daily Star, which was very exciting. If you haven't seen that, I'd be happy to kind of send that around. We have a little website in place, avanza.fund. So if you're out in the community and people are asking you questions, we can direct folks to there. We're starting to gather those first emails. We actually have a lot of excitement in the pipeline already. We have two people that have submitted pre-applications, and so they're starting to go through the process. And then we have 13 in the pipeline that are starting to gather their materials and ready to apply when the fund opens. Our loan committee is secured. I really, really am excited about all of the people on the loan committee. There's a lot of diversity represented from fields and different areas of expertise, a good mix of small business owners and also experts, subject matter experts, and finance experts. So we're really excited. We'll be doing a training at the end of this month and get everybody ready to start participating. Yes, Sandra.
I am very happy that you have Kristen King on board. She is absolutely fabulous. I've worked with her before, and that is a great addition to the committee.
Oh my gosh, I'm so glad you mentioned that. And we've actually been engaging Kristen in a couple ways. She actually has been meeting with Wendy to supervise the development of our loan documents. She has so much experience. I'm so glad that you know her and you appreciate her and love her like we do.
Yes, no, she is absolutely fabulous.
Yeah. Good. I'm glad that you caught that. Our underwriting software is under development. We are having some challenges with our plan A, so we are also working on plan B so that the software does not become a barrier for our small businesses. I did get some clarity this month working or this week with the city of Tucson. Chris was able to join me with the city manager and the economic development offices and talk about what our intergovernmental agreement is going to look like with the city of Tucson. And so they're going to not run this through a grantee grantor relationship. They're really seeing this as an intergovernmental agreement with the IDA. And so that's kind of the contracting that we're building with them. So we're developing those MOUs, and they are looking to vote on the intergovernmental agreement June 2023. So they've already voted that the funding is there, but they can't actually write us a check until the intergovernmental agreement is in place. So that's a little bit about how that timing is going. Yeah, Meredith.
You know, I have to ask this. How is it the IDA fits into an IGA in real terms, legal terms? We are quasi-government, and how is an IGA structured for us to be legally able? I just don't know. I mostly just want to understand.
Yes, that is why I brought Chris to that meeting, because I had some questions myself. Chris, do you have some additional insight to that matter?
Yeah, so the IDA is a government entity. It's a subdivision of the state of Arizona. So we fit right in with that. I think there's going to be some question in how it works with the nonprofit that we're hoping to run the funds through. But the city's got a great staff of attorneys that do this all the time. I'm very familiar with their forms, so I think we can kind of figure it out.
Great. Yep. Thank you. Yep. I just wanted to be a little better understanding for myself. Appreciate it.
Yeah. And that was the one hiccup, is I just wanted to let them know that the funding that we're doing is we're wanting to build that through our nonprofits, so that we're building that lending history that will eventually lead us to the path of the CDFI, should we want to keep that in our future. And then the loan loss guarantee contracting, we are still working on our final back and forth with the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, and they're going to vote on that on April 3rd. So I just wanted to bring these timeline elements up to the board to just let you guys know that we are, if we start and we stick to our April 1st starting to fund companies, we are getting a little ahead of the actual writing and signatures on a piece of paper. That might be okay. There, you know, we might feel comfortable with that. You know, we do have a mayor and council resolution that the funds will come. It's just a matter of kind of getting the contracting done. With the loan loss guarantee, they have verbally committed to honoring ones that were done in 30 days prior to the contract being signed. That is not on paper. That is a verbal commitment. So I just wanted to put this to the board. Do we feel comfortable funding companies before these documents have been signed and, you know, ink dried? Just as a discussion point.
Is it possible to get that loan loss guarantee in writing?
They will have that loan loss guarantee in writing by the end of April.
No, the 30 days that they would be willing to cover that 30 days to have that in writing.
That would be part of the end of April contract. End Maybe April. I could just get that piece written down, but the end of April is when they want to do their full signing of the documents.
I would say we should.
Available when? Then?
Pardon?
Then the funding's available the end of April, or it's
as soon as we sign those documents, that insurance is in place. And verbally, they've said they'll even cover the ones that were in the 30 days prior. But until then, we'll be using our own dollars to capitalize these funds, and they are slightly unsecured without that written documentation.
Great. Maybe we could ask them to include in whatever meeting or vote they're going to do, that the loan loss would start on a specific date, and they could include that in their resolution. So if it starts April 1, you'd be covered, even though the documents didn't come until the end of April.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd be hard pressed to support moving forward without guarantee.
Okay, that's helpful. So I will take that up to them. And if we can get in their April 3rd resolution that it starts, April 1st we'll fund. If we don't get that, then we'll just wait until those documents have signed, which pushes our official funding dates to June. That being said, we're still going to work with companies. We're in contact with them. We're going to help them prepare their documents. We're going to move forward with the relationship, but we just won't sign those checks and get them in people's bank account until that time without this piece in place. Okay. All right. I'm seeing heads nodding. Okay. And we're also, as part of that, building our MOU with the city of Tucson in terms of how the technical assistance works and really clarifying that relationship. That's something that we're working on this whole month and have been really, really excited about the relationship and the team that they have and how it actually pretty much doubles the size of our team by being able to work with the navigator. So that's a bit of a fantastic relationship. We have been this whole month working on marketing. We have a new logo for Avanza. We are very excited that a local artist, Mel Dominguez, has helped with some of the custom art for the project. And so really integrating that local small business feeling throughout the look and feel of the branding for the product. Are there additional questions we have about Avanza? I know that, you know, people might be coming to you with questions about it. Do we want to take some time here just to kind of talk through any of those elements? Okay, hearing none, I will proceed.
No, the people who I've talked to, they really are very excited. They think it's long overdue and that we're hitting the right target market, and they think it's wonderful. So,
yes, I have been getting so many small businesses. I mean, really, our problem is going to be there's going to be too many businesses who want to participate. The excitement is there. The need, the stories that we've been hearing about how people have been falling between the cracks is just so precious for our team. And we've been really, really excited about the level that we are truly meeting an unmet need in our community. So very excited about that.
And we're documenting some of those stories?
Yes.
Yeah. Interesting to follow them in terms of their success. You know?
Yeah, I do want to share. So we are doing sort of a mini documentary series where we're going to be highlighting some of these small businesses as part of our marketing strategy, is highlighting some of these small businesses, following up with them. And then we'll tell you when exactly the date is. I wanted to get some clarity about when the lunch fund is going to launch, but we're planning on doing a big event and inviting some of these companies and kind of talking about it. So a lot of the marketing that we're planning is very story driven, because as we've been doing this, that has been such an poignant part of how and why we're building this product. Okay. And because it came up earlier, with the intergovernmental agreement, I just kind of wanted to pause here and give some chance to talk about this 501c3, the Tucson IDA, what's falling under the 501c3, what's the plans for it. We are starting to sort of separate them into their different funding. It will be a slow process as we're all kind of building this entity. There's some key documents that need to be built for the 501c3, but just wanted to lay this out here in case, you know, you're hearing it and you have questions about it. So Groundswell Capital, we have a trade name associated. So that was the previous Dark Mountain Development Corporation. The trade name is Groundswell Capital. It's a 501c3. Their current programs are Avanza and Semillas. Semillas is like Avanza, but it's for smaller amounts and the funding can come a bit quicker. And so it's a little bit less onerous on the paperwork side if you're going to be asking for like $1,000, $2,000 than if you're asking for like $100,000. Future programs for Groundswell Capital will include the Green Bank products. Sorry, I'm having a phone call. And we are establishing the 501c3 so that should in the future we like to apply for CDFI status, it will be an easy application. The way that we're forming the documentation, looking at the updated articles of inclusion, the bylaws, the board composition, all of that will be priming us so that in the future, should we want to apply for CDFI status, we'll be able to get it first time out the gate, because I know that was a challenge previously. We're also investigating if in the future there might be a role for us to get certified as a consumer lender This is coming up a ton of times in the community, if that there is a need for a consumer lender who can do things like solar panels for low-income housing. It's been a little bit of a challenge for the programs, and that's potential in the future. We might want to think about that. Our funding, our goal for this product, for this company, would that it would be about $15 million in 10 years. And that would include our capitalization of the fund and operations, and it would start to pay its own bills for its own staff. And so that's kind of our 10-year plan for the fund. It has seed funding from the IDA, grants, foundations, private corporate donations, and program revenue. I've been interviewing a lot of different IDAs around the country about how they function with their 501c3, what are the types of contracts they put in place, and people do it differently. A lot of organizations will lend their 501c3 money, and then the 501c3 will pay it back at a certain interest rate. Some of them just sort of write contracts that says, in the future, we hope that you will become a financial supporter, and you will, when you are ready, be able to pay us back for any dollars. So there's different ways that we can work through this process, but we are documenting any funding. We're really tracking any finances and creating that really clear paper trail between everything Groundswell and everything Tucson IDA, so that at any future point, it's just very clear where all those dollars have gone. I have to give a big shout out to Sarah, because she put a new fund management system in process, which is very sophisticated and is helping us do this at a very high level, so that we are ready for any type of auditing. And QuickBooks just wasn't able to accomplish that for us. So we have a great resource on staff who's familiar with fund management, and that's really the gold star for quasi-governmental nonprofits. That's really kind of the major fund system that people use. And then the Tucson IDA side, we're obviously the development authority. Our programs will continue to be PTHS as the housing finance authority. That's really has to stay with us. The MCCs, private activity bonds, our real estate, future programs that we've talked about for staying with the IDA would be pre-development accelerator, inclusive development. So really focusing on those development programs that we've gotten excited about, and the funding sources being real estate bonds and program revenue. So that's kind of the very beginning pieces of this. Are there any kind of questions on how I've laid this out, or things that we want to include in our strategic, in our board? I think a good place to talk about this would probably be our board retreat. So I can, if you have questions about them, I can knock them down and we'll talk about them there. Sandra.
I am very sorry. I do have to leave. Something came up. If I leave, 1, 2, 3, 4, we should still be okay.
Okay. Thank you, Sandra. Thank you for the vote.
I truly apologize, but
don't worry. You gotta go. You gotta go. We're almost done here.
Thanks,
too.
Guys.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Okay, Meredith.
Just a quick question. I know we have Black Mountain as well, which is sort of non-defined. So Groundswell is well-defined as a nonprofit lender with a focus on lending. Is there a notion that if there was an interest in development type work on the part of real estate owned by the IDA, that would be a different entity? Or like, it's just a random question, but I'm kind of curious.
Yeah, I think eventually we will probably want a development nonprofit. I am curious, and so I'm on the board of the City of Tucson's new nonprofit that's a development-focused nonprofit, and so I'm very excited about watching, kind of getting that front row seat to see how that is formed. It's possible that we might be able to leverage their 501c3 and do lots of these things together, but in our sort of long-term plan, ideally, I would see the IDA sits here. We have a direct lending entity. We have a development entity. And then the IDA sort of pushes the programmatic development to those specific targeted areas. That seems to be the kind of tradition. That seems to be the major model. And there are even little entities that will pop up for a specific thing. So let's say for some reason, you know, there was a major like a new airport or something was coming in. Some IDAs will build little entities that are just dealing with this particular project. So there's lots of different ways to do it, but most entities work as the major IDA develops programmatic entities that specifically focus on different areas. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. We would probably do that. And then really you would stick, the IDA would just be doing bonds hand over fist all the time. That would be the major goal as the authority. Quick update on our Avanza Empowerment Center. I just want to shout out to Shay again about creating these beautiful pictures for us. Every time anyone sees them, they love them, and was able to accomplish that on a really quick turnaround. So thank you so much, Shay, for doing that. We have launched our request for proposals for the architecture and engineering for the center. At the end of February, 55 agencies were invited to participate, wanted to make sure we did as much as we could to make sure that people had opportunities. I hosted two public open houses where anyone who was interested in potentially submitting could come by, kind of kick the tires of the building, ask any questions they had. And tomorrow we've asked that people submit a letter of intent. And we've already had three firms submit a letter of intent, which are great firms. So we're already on a good path there. And then proposals will be due April 3rd. So the way that I've sort of envisioned this is the property development committee with some members from the city of Tucson would do that kind of first round. And then we might have maybe a finalist come and do a presentation to board for the final vote on the selection. That's how we've sort of laid it out. So we are making progress with our property. Any questions on that? No. All right. Hearing none, I'll just keep going. Some operations updates. So if you look around this room, you can see that we are up to our gills in this room. So we are moving to a slightly bigger home. That will be 376 North Stone. And very excited because the business navigators are also going to be in the building with us. So we're going to start doing our co-locating and working together. The city manager just approved that. So we will sort of start our little mini Avanza Center before our Avanza Center, which I'm excited about because then we'll be able to work out any kinks and have a better sense of what we need this building to work since we're going to get started right away. We will be officially in there May 1st. So my intention is that our board retreat will get to be in our new home. We are actively hiring for a bilingual marketing coordinator that is covered underneath the Avanza budget. And we're actually going to split this cost with the business navigators as well. So we have a couple of really highly qualified applicants that have come through. So very excited. We are also looking for a bilingual loan officer, an administrative assistant. Bilingual is preferred. We haven't built those. So if you know people that are a little bit more early in their career and are interested in participating, we'll make sure that you guys have access to spread the word on those. The next couple months, we are going to be representing around the country. We will be at the Federal Policy Conference in Washington, D.C. Next month. And we're actually going to be able to go to the Hill and learn a little bit more about the IRA and the Greenhouse Reduction Act and really get a big sense on what are the big dollars coming down federally and how we can make sure that we're well positioned to receive them. The National Association of Housing Finance Authorities in Tampa, we are up for an award for innovation in our essential workers. So we will keep our fingers crossed and see if we're able to bring home a win. And then there's an Accelerator for America conference in Phoenix as well. Meredith will be at the ULI conference representing us there. I forgot to add that one. So lots of visibility for our organization. The last little piece I wanted to talk about today, and then I'll let everybody off early, is our kind of funding pipeline. We have just recently submitted a community block grant for $1 million in partnership with Creative Machines for an engaging, interactive youth center. Our role on that is the fiscal agent, so we would just be managing the fund with our new fund management. Yes, very exciting. And then our ARPA round two, like I said, the dates. So we have been approved for the 1.5 for Avanza. We are still finding out if we have an additional million through the essential workers. In progress, I'm writing an environmental justice grant with Local First Arizona, U of A, El Rio, and SERI. And so that is come due beginning of April. And then we are very excited to have been I did sort of a mini application to be a sub on a larger application that's going in June through the National Coalition for Green Capital. And our application was accepted. So that's barrier one. Next is actually getting the dollars, but that would lead to over $10 million over 5 years for operational funding for groundswell capital. And then our fund would be $150 million for large-scale green infrastructure. So very excited about that one. and we will let you know as those application timelines come up and really what our role is. We're working closely with the city of Tucson to align all of our funding with the climate resiliency, I guess, bill, I don't know, policy that they've just submitted.
When did they make a decision on that, on the last one?
We would know by September of 2023.
Okay. Yep. Miracles are occurring in our lives and the world.
Yeah, I'm very excited. So I sort of got our first, everyone has to apply. They're only giving the funding. It's billions of dollars of funding, and they're only giving it to six entities who then give it out to other coalition partners. So I sort of got accepted to my favorite one, which has the Connecticut Green Bank, it has the Philly Green Bank. It's really the prime coalition to be a part of. So that was a big success for us. And they're really excited about everything we're doing in Tucson. And again, this would be kind of the first Green Bank in Arizona. So we'll have to have discussions about our service area because, you know, with this type of capital, other Arizona partners will be looking to participate and get engaged. And we want to make sure that we're making a big tent for everyone to be involved. So I will keep you updated on that process. Sarah, did you want to kind of do a quick review of our revenue and expenses? Again, we're splitting all of our groundswell and Tucson IDA. So there's going to be for the next couple months, just some different pieces. So I just would love to have Sarah kind of share that with you.
Great. Okay. All right. Great. You muted yourself. So that helps a lot. Okay. So our total revenue is about $76,000. And it shows, if we're looking at it compared to the previous month, there is a little bit of a decrease due to the property tax refunds. We actually got another, in January's financials, we received all of those property tax refunds that Trey worked really hard on. So if you're comparing month to month, it looks a little off, but, in general on revenue side, things look kind of normal. Nothing really stands out, and out of place. And our net profit shows that it's 14,000. Expenses, same thing. We had our total expenses are 63,000, which is in line with previous months if I'm excluding any sort of reclasses and unreimbursable grant expenses. So as I was saying before, in January, we did a lot of trying to separate out all of the Dark Mountain / groundswell stuff, putting it onto our balance sheet as opposed to being in our P&L, because really it's a receivable, it's due to us. So the numbers just look a little weird from the previous month, but I wanted to make sure that I tried to explain it as best I could to everybody. But if you look at next month, if looking in at March's financials, things will kind of look a little bit more normal. Now that those reclasses and unreimbursable grants, all that will kind of be in the previous month. So otherwise things look they're pretty much on track. Financially, nothing really stands out. But yeah, that's what's going on. It's a pretty simple month.
Can Dre answer any questions?
There we go. One point of order. On January, we switched over to managing our own MCCs, and that was a little unexpected for us. So there was a kind of a flurry around that, but we're really excited that we've actually exceeded last year's revenue from MCCs. The team did a really great job reaching out to all the participants, have set up an online portal, making payments much easier, sent out really cute little notes to everyone. So that transition, which was a little stressful, is now well in order, and we are we are not experiencing any loss from that transition, which is good. And we actually still have some more coming in, so we anticipate that we will. We're full. We've met our goals for the MCC program. Okay. All right. That's it. That's all, guys. That's all we're working on. Easy peasy. Any additional questions or anything else I can answer for any of the board members? Okay.
Just want to reinforce, you guys are doing some great work. It's really, really wonderful to see the quality of these board packages and the programs you're laying down. Thank you.
Yay,
and to the team.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, amazing. Doing an amazing job.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Call to the public. Yep. All right. Do I have a motion to adjourn this meeting?
So moved.
We have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 All right. Thank you, guys. Take care.
Keep up the great work.
Thank you.
Take care.